Ladies and gentlemen, would you please rise for the playing of our national anthem?
Game time, NBA, slamming ops like MMA in the octagon. When I'm about to rhyme, I drop a young eight like it's mama time. Then eight more, that's a Paul Gasol, they gon' say, whoa, that boy's raw. Got a fast break straight to the hole, drop the last eight, that's 24, when there's plenty more where that came from. Better know the flow, grade A1, and I'm ambidextrous, AI. They can plan to exit, they can't hide. I got hands in the fight like Mayweather. I know your man's in the mic, they can fake better, but they ain't never. They featherweight, treble clever, heavyweight, in every state. Never delegate, my team the greatest from the NYC to Vegas. Now that I'm in the game, I see the A-list, but none of them can't quite see me. They wish I'm raising the bar. You players ain't ranking and taking up space at the bar when we drinking. I'm calling the play. You balling the ball, we balling the day.
We going all the way. We're taking off from here. Watch us be go. Ain't no one blocking nor stopping. We know. We making every shot that we throw. Watch us we go. We going all the way. You know we coming. We going all the way. Up to something. We going all the way. You can't ignore it, going all the way. You can't ignore it, going all the way.
My team got rings like stepping in them. You shouldn't even think about stepping in them. And when they got the ball, it's like a weapon to them. We win, then we pop the bottles like 11 of them. I'm aiming for the crown and I won't stop. You laying on the ground like a dope stop. Showstopper, I can't stop, won't stop. Ain't no way for my haters to go when I post up. I'm headed to the paint, breaking ankles. Big team, big goals, big bankroll. You figure that they close, but they ain't though. We the reason that they posting the hate quotes. Disrespecting the name just to bait you up. They thinking it's a game, but they play too much. Don't listen to them silly, you play too much. They trip it cause you rip it and they take the bus. When you roll up like Wiz Khalifa, you on the sideline like a cheerleader. You see me in my skin, we winning, we up. And we gon' eat like Queen Latifah. And we getting better than you every day. I'm a 2-2-3 like LBJ.
We going all the way. We're taking off from here. Watch as we go. Ain't no one blocking nor stopping. We know. We making every shot that we throw. Watch as we go. Going all the way. You know we coming. We going all the way. Up to something. Going all the way.
You can't ignore it, going all the way. You can't ignore it, going all of the way. They ain't knowing, say they be spitting, but they ain't flowing. They can't even say they growing. In the same boat that trip floats in, they will get motion sickness from the water because the flow is vicious. Oh my God, somebody about to get crossed anytime that I got the ball. I'm gonna get off, now get off.
T to
the R to the E to the B L, and I'm coming for your neck like Spreewell. I'm next like text messaging with the emails. Trouble is the devil in the details. You really against me? I don't like you. Me and my niggas the big three and I'm Ice Cube. You really MC? Get the mic, but you silly, you think you can rip me, you can try to. My crew ain't got a lot on the roster, cause I learned a lot of y'all is imposter. So I gotta know if like there's a problem, they gon' power forward like Serge Ibaka. Thinking I could do all this by myself, then you must be smoking water. Michael Phelps blowing competition out the waterway. Y'all should listen cause I'm going all the way.
We're taking off from here, watch as we go. Ain't no one blocking or stopping, we know. We making every shot that we throw. Watch as we go, going all the way.
What is good? What is good? What is really, really good, ladies and gentlemen? Glad to be back at it. This is your boy James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again. Season 4, it goes down.
The courts were busy last night with 7 games. We'll let this one ride out. The Intercontinental Heavyweight Boxing title is on the line tonight in Vegas.
All right. Oh, man. It feels good. It feels real good. Going back live with the Overtime Sports Show. Once again, streaming now live, not only on Facebook, but on YouTube as well. It's been a minute, y'all. It's been a minute. Since I hollered at y'all, it's been a real good minute. A lot is going on. We got to break it down. But before I break it down into a simple compound, I want to tell each and every one of y'all that is stuck by Sinful Black Sports and our highlights and how we do, how much y'all are appreciated and how y'all can never be duplicated. Like I said, we've had a rough go. A lot of things are going on, but I said I promise we'll be back June 1st, and I have delivered. That's not delivered. That's delivered, ending with a T, by the way. But before we really get into the details of what we want to talk about tonight, I got to load up this video real quick just to let you know exactly where we are going with this. Hold on a second. See, that's when you're your own producer. Hold on. Give me a second. Give me a second. All right, so let me pull this up real quick and have at it. Give me a second.
What if I told you that sometimes it is a matter of life and death?
Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the coronavirus.
The NBA is suspending the season.
Board of Governors canceled the Division I men's and women's 2020 basketball tournaments, as well as all remaining winter and spring NCAA championships.
The 2019-2020 season will be halted amidst COVID-19 spread.
The World Health Organization has just declared that this is a pandemic.
To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency.
We'll cut that out of editing later. But anyways, but no, for real. Like I said, the whole world stopped. Completely stopped. Completely was done, completely gone. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that one virus shut down the entire world. Now, I myself was affected personally. I lost my job. It was done. It was a wrap. My homeboy, my main man, Big Sin, he's in charge of the security and the Envy Energy. Like, he had to change his whole workflow. But that's just work. But sports, everything got dixed. It was done. Rudy Gobert fucked up for everybody else. Sad deal. Sad deal, right? But then we had to realize that this was bigger than what we initially thought. This was bigger than what we had planned for. Now, I myself knew that this was going to happen. I knew that there was potential for everything to get shut down. Woe is me, blah, 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 right? A lot of other people didn't think so. Everybody thought that this is something we're going to push through. Our own governor, Ron DeSantis, thought we was going to be able to push through. That was a fucking lie. We weren't able to push through. LeBron James, I remember days before the complete shutdown, that they asked, yo, LeBron, what do you feel about not playing in front of the crowd? He's like, I ain't playing no fucking crowd. I mean, I can't be mad at him. Have you ever been to a game with no crowd? I've been to a few high school games with like maybe 5 or 6 people in the crowd, but I've never, ever been into a game with no one cheering you on. That's a trip. That is a whole trip and a half. I couldn't even begin to imagine what that would even feel like. When I played football, we had maybe some dud crowds until we started winning and everything was good. But never like zero crowd. Never like zero. That is wild. That is fucking wild. And that was the potential what was going to happen up until the point where players were at risk. Millionaires, the guys that play your game were at risk. They're gone. They can't play. They're too worried. I'd be worried too. I don't want to fucking die. We hear all the deaths that happened in fucking Italy, all the deaths that happened in China at the time in March. You're like, fuck, man. What the fuck we going to do? And that's exactly what happened. But the reality of the situation is that everything had to shut down. Initial athletes' reactions were rough. The game that they love to play, done. NHL, shut it down. Major League Soccer, shut it down. Just for temporarily, though. But there was a huge casualty in the sports world as far as the entire league goes, and that was the XFL. For those that don't know about the XFL, that was WWE owner Vince McMahon's part due of his failed league that happened the first time. He's trying to bring it back. Didn't work. Didn't work at all. So now we were left and we're stuck with no sports, no entertainment, athletes not knowing what to do with themselves. They're told to stay at home. Planes get shut down. Can't travel. Can't do this. Can't do that. Everybody's worried. Cruise ships shut down. Can't do this. Can't do that. It's crazy. It was wild. But it was the start of realizing that maybe, just maybe, that we aren't as perfect as we thought we were. This little fishbowl that we live in, we didn't have a filter, as they say. You ever been in a fishbowl without a filter? Ever seen some fish shit in the fishbowl for a while? Eventually, that shit gets toxic. And that's exactly what happened to this world. The world got toxic. The world got dangerous. Our world has now become a place where anything that you touch can be fucked. And so with that said, it's like, man, what do we do? What the hell was we going to do? How the hell was this going to work? Maybe, just maybe, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We were kind of finagling. Oh, maybe we just need to chill for a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying? Not do anything. Maybe this was all going to be over by the end of March. Maybe. That's what was talked about. Like, maybe this was going to be, it ain't going to be nothing. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right, right? Nope, wrong. And the March comes, shit shut down. So we're left with nothing, right? We were left with our own devices. We've seen how fast things can change in a blink of an eye with LeBron James. Man, that man grew a massive beard. We had to shut down UCF. We had to shut down UFC events. The one sport that actually went on until the end of March was wrestling. And that was a blessing, kind of, because we still didn't know. They hadn't banned crowds yet at this time. There were still light crowds. I think they had banned crowds the last week of March, maybe the last 2 weeks of March. And it was a wrap. It was a wrap. They had to fundamentally change how they do their business. Again, have you ever been to a wrestling show without a crowd? It fucking sucks. Sorry to break it to you. It fucking sucks. But we did. We ended up having a whole entire WrestleMania, which is the biggest event of the entire year for wrestling, shut down. We actually did a show about that. I focused on trying to gather up everything, trying to get ahead of this curve and trying to realize, like, yo, what the hell are we going to do now? Well, there's no sports for me to talk about. So we did a few things. I did a wrestling podcast, a couple of them. But I really had to shut down exactly what I was and what we were trying to do. We were really supposed to come back April 1st. That was the plan. I said we was going to shut down the Overtime Sports Show, come back around April 1st, and we were supposed to be okay. We were supposed to be good. That didn't happen. The reason why it didn't happen is because there was nothing to cover. I needed to see how this played out. I needed to see how sports was actually going to be. I did not know when I did this that everything was going to be done, that outside of wrestling, that everything was going to be a wrap. I did not know. And I swear, I promise you, had I known, I would have came out with a lot more shit, at least something, anything. Try to grab a little bit of it. But nothing. We didn't get it. We got nothing, yo. I thought the most hilarious thing out this, and we're going to talk about this on another episode, is that Dana White bought a whole island to have his fighting matches on. And I don't know if you kind of know what that actually entails, but I want you to look up an island with martial arts. The only word, two words, Mortal Kombat. That's all you got to remember. Remember, the movie Mortal Kombat, they went to a fucking island and fought to the death. That's what it felt like when Dana White was like, We're going to fight on an island. I was like, somebody's going to die. But I'll pay for it if you want me to. I'll pay for the shit. I'll pay for the Mortal Kombat. I'll do it. I will fucking do it. All jokes aside, this has been the first part of this one is rough. And so I got stuck with trying to figure out how to launch this show. And just the ideas and just trying to compile everything. And I said, you know what? I'm really going to take a wait and see approach to this. I want to see how this all plays out before I go further into this one. And who fucking knew that this clusterfuck of a year that had already started on shit level back in January, February, had always transcended into some screwed up, fucked up shit. We've gone wild. And not recent events aside, this year as itself was already screwed up. Don't make no mistake about it. Hey, Di, how you doing? Make no mistake about it. This whole thing was screwed up. It was bad. It was real bad. But there was a bright side to this. A lot of people are going to be like, Hollywood, what bright side to this? The reality of the situation is that for the first 2 weeks, for the 2 weeks that we were tasked to stay at home, or for some for a month, actually some have been in lockdown since the beginning of March and actually are partially still on the lockdown. But for most of us, that this meant taking a break from the norm and finding who you are. Can we come together as a people and do the right thing for other people? Or are we going to destroy ourselves? And that's kind of where we had this month and a half to do this. And we did it for a month and a half. We fucking did it. Let me tell you, because on the second side, on the next episode, we're going to talk about a lot of the stuff that has went on that built this whole thing up. But notice that there was a bright side. For 45 fucking days, we were good. Through all the mist of the confusion, and all the chaos, and all the lack of unemployment and lack of job opportunities and our doctors and our nurses being put through the ringer trying to battle coronavirus, we actually did pretty well for the first 45 days. The big April stack was a good month of revelation. Of self, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess rebuilding yourself and just analytical shit. Like, who am I? Where am I? How am I? Who are the people around me? Hell, I bet you half of these people that had to be on lockdown didn't even realize that their family was actually really good fucking people. But I also realized that maybe some of your friends and family were a bunch of shit people too, and it's okay. That's all right. That's why we needed this month. And maybe your idols people that you looked up to thought were your idols, they weren't really your idols. Or maybe people that you probably should have looked up to and didn't pay attention to, you start paying attention to. I had somebody that in my messages, they was like, Hollywood, now that I haven't seen the show, now I haven't seen the show in a minute, I want to really appreciate you and Big Sin's realism. And I say thank you. And that's like something that I really was like kind of motivated about. That was really awesome. And that's what really, really brought me back here. That's what made me say, you know, let's keep this shit going. But I'm going to hold off and try to figure out everything that I got going. Now, if you want to ask me what I was up to in the first month when all this shit went down? Well, when this all went down, my son had a karate tournament. Martial arts tournament in Taekwondo. It was all the way in Georgia. I had to drive from Orlando, Florida to, not Georgia, I'm sorry, South Carolina. Now keep in mind, I have never been to South Carolina ever in the history of ever, ever, ever been to South Carolina. Beautiful state, by the way. So if you don't know anything about South Carolina, it is a beautiful state. Is there some racism? Probably. I'm not going to stick around long enough to try to find out if there's racism or not, But I bet you bet my ass it's beautiful, and I know it's there, so I know I'm going to stay my ass on this road. Main road, if I get pulled over, everybody going to see my black ass get killed. But I'm good with it. So, but at either rate, we go down, I get pulled over in Georgia. Cop reads my license, insurance, I'm good. I'm like, I ain't got no warrants. I'm like, what's the problem? He's like, I did 90 in a 75, but yet I was going the same exact speed as the person next to me, but I'm the one getting pulled over. If I let me tell you, the person next to me in the pickup was a white country boy. I'm in my little blue car. He probably like, oh, I'm pulling over the guy in the blue car. I lock trucks. I ain't gonna pull over no truck, so I get pulled over. But anyways, that's beside the point. He pulls me over. He goes gets my license. We're sitting here waiting about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I'm like, fuck, 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 fuck. Obviously, if he's taking this long, you know it's never a good thing. I thought maybe he's just writing a ticket, so I wasn't sweating it too much. You know, this man have the audacity to pull me out my car, handcuff me in front of my son. It says that you might not be who you say you are, so we got to hold you. I'm like, hold on. I might not be who I say I am. You have an ID with my picture on it. Now, the kicker is that when I took my picture, I was well into the 500s in poundage, okay? And I've lost some weight since I took that picture. But I get pulled over. Cop says, you know, he hemmed me up. I'm just sitting there like, man, really? 10 minutes go by. I'm in handcuffs on I-95, by the way. 20 minutes go by. 30 minutes go by. He finally calls a supervisor. Supervisor comes in like, bro, we done missed like 30 or 40 tickets, which you bullshitting out here trying to fuck with this dude. Give him the ticket, let the man go. So I don't know. I don't know why dude held me up for that long. But let me tell you what it did. It cost my son a possible guaranteed Taekwondo tournament win because there was barely only 4 or 5 kids there because everybody probably stayed home due to coronavirus. It was a top-tier tournament too. And for people not to show up to a top-tier tournament towards the end of Taekwondo season tells you exactly how much this shit affected everyone. I think that's the point that I tried to get to. Life as we knew it got fucked up. Hello, Mr. Carlos. Jose, how you doing, sir? Hope everything is good. I mean, it fundamentally changed everything. So if my personal life got changed, and the personal life of others who participate in martial arts, and this isn't no cult, by the way. These people that pay thousands of dollars a year for their kids to attend martial arts, and then pay hundreds of dollars every time there's a tournament. And there could be tournaments every month. There are people that have paid for tournaments in advance. That those tournaments are gone. There are no tournaments anymore. Now, the big question is, how are they going, when we get back to this, how are they going to adapt? What is going to be the key to make sure this comes back? And I don't know. I don't have that answer. I don't have that answer at all. But I do know that the world was fundamentally changed when coronavirus hit. And I don't know if it was for the better. I don't know if it was for the worst, but it was mind-boggling. Now, I believe that this happened for a reason. And people can, you know, you question faith and God and fate and all that other shit, right? I'm not here to have a religious battle with anyone. That's not what I'm here for. That's not what I do. Like, if I'll start a religious channel if I want to do that. I don't want to do that. I believe God in my own way and what he does, and everybody else can believe what they want to believe. However, when it comes to shit like this, it really makes you question. Because think about where we were in March. Think about where we were in February. Think about how life was just, right? Life came at you fast. And that's something to think about. That's something that, you know, I feel at some point we needed a break. We needed to breathe. And for a virus that stops you from breathing, it was a breather. It sucks that so many people died. They did. I even had people, you know, that were close to my friends pass away. But coronavirus actually made you realize that, what are we invested for? What are we fighting for? What are we doing this? Why do we have these things? Why do all these things matter so much? And what happens when those things are taken away from you? Sports was taken away from us. So what are you going to do? We adapted. We are humans. That's the beautiful part about it. We are some of the most wonderful creatures on the face of this earth. Some of the most intelligent creatures on the face of this earth. We are human. We adapt. We survive. We overcome. And that is what we did. We succeeded in everything that we did, right? Say hi to my co-worker in the back, the wifey behind me as she was there. But we adapted, we survived, and we overcame. And I think that's the biggest part that we had to take away from this one, that sports was huge to us. We worshiped and we loved sports to the point that maybe we loved it too much. And so for some people that criticize it and hate it, maybe we didn't love it enough. Maybe we didn't, you know, maybe we took advantage of the blessing that we had. Maybe this is exactly what we needed to say, I need to chill. Well, you're right, Lady Di. It is, though. Because you have to consider, I understand all the bad shit that came with coronavirus. Like I said, I had people close to me die or get infected or both, right? I had people that had to lose loved ones and not be able to look them in the face when they passed away, which is probably one of the saddest things that you could ever even imagine. And it makes us realize that we need to appreciate shit more than we do. We don't appreciate as much as we do. We should. We need to appreciate the people next to us. We need to appreciate our loved ones. We need to appreciate the people that love us and the people that we love. And so when all this happened and we were forced to interact with those people, we had to realize that, hey, and then we see the deaths. We see the death toll rising from the thousands to the 10,000s. And now we're close again to the 100,000s. When the death toll hit 10,000, I was like, we are fucked. But make no mistake, we persevered. And it's kind of sad to say that something this deadly showed the true colors of who we are as humans. But for the first 45 days of this whole pandemic, this was crazy. This was crazy. But I'm ranting. I'm ranting. So let me get on to the second part of this show real quick. Now let's talk about the part two. Let's talk about social distancing. Let's talk about what happened in the month of April. Probably the most important month of 2020, because late March is when the majority of the states, at some point, they all locked down. Now, there was a few stragglers, like Oklahoma didn't lock the whole thing down. Nebraska didn't lock the whole thing down. Some of the Dakotas didn't lock the whole thing down. That's fine, because if your population's like 100,000 or less, and your land mass is like, I don't know, half as big as California, but still got 100,000 people versus California having like 10 million people in that same landmass, you're afforded to not have to exactly lock down at the exact point, and that's fine. But let's talk about social distancing, and let's talk about the things that it brought us. First things first, social media. Social media turned into a place where we got to vent. We got to express our feelings. We got to express our sports feelings about missing sports on social media. And the best part about it is that your favorite athlete, I'm pretty sure that your favorite athlete has a fucking TikTok. Am I right? You can't, don't debate. This is not up for debate because I know LeBron has a TikTok. I know a few other athletes that got a TikTok too. And them cats went AWOL with the TikTok. It showed a side of these athletes that you have never seen before. And I thought it was pretty cool. I thought, to me, to know that these multimillionaire superstars that are enduring the same shit that we're doing, except they probably got pools in their backyard and shit like that. They're used to being public people. They couldn't be public anymore, so now they had to adapt. And so what happened? They got a TikTok. We had IG Live. The IG Live battles, which are still going. Love the IG battles with hip-hop artists. That was awesome. Your favorite hip-hop artist trying to relate to your favorite rapper, and then hip-hop artists, singers, relating to rappers. Like, they link it up on IG Live and doing crazy shit. We've had cool shit like the Don't Rush Challenge. That popped off in April. People think that was amazing. No, that shit popped off in April. The rise of Microsoft Zoom. Now, Zoom was an important tool because Zoom allowed everyone to collaborate all at once. Unfortunately, when they made Zoom, it wasn't secure. So we saw a bunch of random people hop up on other people's Zooms to try and, you know, meet their favorite celebrity. Somebody dropped the email, the code to the chat was like, and slid right in. But that shit was hilarious. I love that. Personal trainers using Zoom to train their athletes. That was a pretty creative thing. Remember, we talked about humans, and we talk about how they adapt, and we talk about how they did their thing. Right? This is what we're doing. That was pretty awesome. Creative ingenuity. They were able to still train their people without actually seeing them. Social distancing made us some of the most creative people in the world. The NFL draft got moved over to a Zoom conference. Still on time. Still where it's supposed to be, but a Zoom conference. And I thought the coolest shit about the NFL draft is that if you donated money to certain causes, they would pipe in the booing for Roger Goodell, so you didn't lose out on the experience. That was the beautiful part. I thought that was amazing. And then we had a lot of the different challenges. We had a lot of different things go on up to and including the single greatest sports documentary ever shown. That was The Last Dance. Michael Jordan's Last Dance is probably one of the most one of the greatest produced documentaries that I've ever seen in my entire life. Epic from beginning to end. And you felt like you actually knew Michael Jordan. It felt like you actually got the opportunity to know who Michael Jordan was. And then they're going to tell you, yeah, it was a puff piece about Michael Jordan. If somebody told you that, they didn't watch it. Let me tell you right now. It was not no puff piece. Michael Jordan clowned himself. He talked about how bad he was. He talked about the things that motivated him. And it made me realize two things. One, Kobe was the closest thing to Michael Jordan that we'll ever get. And two, we're never, ever going to get another person with the drive and intensity as Michael Jordan ever in the history of life. LeBron is a different person. LeBron is not, hey, what's good, Toby? How you doing, sir? How you doing? LeBron is not the leader like Jordan was. Jordan let his basketball skills lead the way and his competitiveness and his drive. LeBron is the type of person, and this is something I've realized from this break. LeBron is the type of leader that inspires change through the system. He wants to, he used his status to change how, you know, the rate, the standard African-American basketball player was going to be portrayed in the world. He wanted people to make sure that, you see this shit? You see the school I built? It's got my fucking name on it. It's my I Promise school. You see all this money that we're donating to causes? That's what I'm doing. You see me with the barbershop giving people entertainment opportunities and giving you an inside window on shit work? That's what I'm doing. LeBron's legacy will be the man that modernized the NBA. And I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. I don't think another person should be hating on LeBron for what he did. In fact, people should be thanking him. Now, does that make him greater or as good as Michael Jordan skill-wise? No. And it's when it comes to actual basketball skill, Michael Jordan was the most skilled basketball player that ever played the game because he always wanted to continue to get better. If you wanted to start a team and build a team, 11 times out of 10, if you can say you can have anybody, past, present, and future, 10 times out of 10, you pick Michael Jordan as your first player. Because if you don't, the person that picks him second is going to end up winning all the goddamn championships. You pick Michael Jordan first. Michael Jordan is that good. He is. It's real. It's not up for debate. This isn't a debatable topic. Now, but LeBron is going to be the GOAT for newer athletes. Athletes that were around my, that are my age. Athletes that are, that need to find out what the next chapter is. And I think that that part has to, came from Kobe. Because Kobe came up with his academy, his Mamba Academy. But LeBron wanted to do something bigger. He built a school. And those schools get guaranteed rides to Akron. Like, you can't beat that. As a human being, as a human being and a basketball player, a human being within a basketball player, excuse me, there's nobody that's going to be better than LeBron James. And that might make you mad, that might make you sad, that might make you happy. But I'm telling you like it is. I don't want LeBron James to be known as the GOAT of basketball. I want LeBron James to be the example, to be the GOAT of life. Like, this is what you do when you have the opportunities that you have. You help, you bring everybody else from the bottom up. You see all these other athletes, they hoard their money, you know, stack it, knowing that they can't take it to the grave. But LeBron is that dude. And I'm really, really impressed with everything that he has done up until this point. And you'll probably never hear me say that again because I might criticize him a little bit more. But who knows? But no, deadly honest, LeBron is – he doesn't need to be the basketball GOAT. He just needs to be the human GOAT, and I'm good with that. We don't need to make a GOAT. I'll have to get to that one, Jose, as far as the people being allowed on the beach because, hell, people have been allowed on the beach in Florida since the beginning. It's not trash. But who knows? Who knows? We'll talk about that in a little while. One thing that has interested me, though, over the whole month of April, and I talked about it, I alluded to this in the last part, was how wrestling, which thrives on, is the antithesis of social distancing. Because you got to hug a person, put them in a suplex, be in a headlock, be all sweaty with the person. That's how wrestling goes. And there's tag matches with five people at ringside. And at some point when there was 10 or people or less, you know, people were like, how's pro wrestling going to work? Well, it worked actually. So the first thing needed to be done is that they needed to get permission from Ron DeSantis to hold wrestling shows, which they did. Initially, they didn't, but then they did. Then they had to figure out a whole plan of how they were going to actually hold wrestling shows and make wrestlers accountable. So they did the temperature checks. They isolated them for 21 days. Like, if you're going to be in doing wrestling, you had to be in the performance center for 21 days. They didn't let you go anywhere else. And then after that 21 days, you were gone free to be able to do what you wanted to do. The flip side of that is that wrestling actually cut a crap load of wrestlers, a boatload of wrestlers. I think about 50 or 60 of them, because that's how bad the shit was. Roman Reigns, who is the biggest star in professional wrestling today, had to take a leave of absence because he is an at-risk person. He was diagnosed with leukemia. So his immune system was fucked up because of the chemo that he took. He hasn't been seen on TV since. So there is some bad. Yes, there is some bad that happened with that. But as wrestling tells you, next man up. And it's been some of the most entertaining shit. If anybody wants to know how social distancing and wrestling worked, you go back and check that. Go watch WrestleMania. It was some of the most fun and wrestling I've ever seen in my life. And then Money in the Bank topped that this last month in June. And I mean, in May, sorry. But we'll get to that in a minute. But wrestling adapted very well. Not just WWE, though. AEW, the league started by Cody Rhodes. The league started by Cody Rhodes is thriving. Sorry, I got a phone call. Why is somebody calling me knowing that I'm live on Facebook? You can't see me? Hello? Anyways. So Cody Rhodes was was the first person to actually do this. So, yes, they had wrestling, but they used the wrestlers as the crowd, which brought a little bit more fun into the game. I thought that what Cody Rhodes did was actually really impressive. Like, real shit. I thought that it was. I thought what Cody Rhodes did, bringing his wrestlers and making them the crowd, livening up the show a little bit, made things really, really, really awesome. Probably some of the best shit that I've ever seen in my entire life. Wrestling thrived. Wrestling had a plan, and wrestling made it. UFC got their fucking island. They got their island. They started holding UFC events there. They had to go back to back to back to back to back. But UFC adapted. UFC thrives. So the one thing we were actually missing at this point, what the hell are we going to do with actual sports on TV? What can we do on a Monday through Friday? And you know what they came up with? Live esports. That is right. So the same video game streaming that they do in PvP and all that shit, you can actually start taking bets on. FanDuel and DraftKings open up betting on esports. I thought that was the greatest thing in the history of ever. I'm a gamer myself. So aside from sports, my thing is video games. I love fucking video games. No, I don't love fucking video games. I fucking love video games. There we go. That sounds better. But all jokes aside, esports became a huge thing. And still, it just hit a boom. Video games just became a huge thing. Now, yes, we were out of toilet paper for a whole fucking month. But we almost got it back. We almost have toilet paper back, y'all. We're almost fucking there. But we've came to a point where, like, us humans have adapted. We survived. We've overcame. So, now we have to get to the third phase of our little conversation, y'all. We got to talk about the new normal. May has come. May has gone. I have seen so many people lose their businesses. Actually, if she's still watching us, just watch my friend. She just lost a few of her businesses. Not her personal business, but she was the district manager for Hair Cuttery, and she lost a few of her stores because Hair Cuttery is going bankrupt. Unfortunately, that wasn't the only casualty as we come to this new normal. So when we came out of in May, when we came out of this lockdown and everybody did this tier phase lockdown, certain games were going to come up and certain games were going to come down. Like certain industries were going to be okay. Certain industries were going to have to be held back. Barbershops haven't even opened up until the last couple weeks. Live events may not even with full crowds, probably not until August. So everybody's like, well, we got to figure out what we're going to do with sports. So this is the new normal in sports. So NBA just announced a couple days ago, July 31st, the NBA will return in a playoff with a 22-team playoff format. That means the worst, the eight worst teams in the NBA will not be making it. The NHL, they're trying to push for a June 30 return with a playoff of a 24-team format. Major League Soccer just announced, June 16th, they're going to try and come back. Italy Serie A, the second largest European soccer league that has the wonderful teams like Real Madrid and stuff like that, they come back June 20th. NFL, they said we're on schedule to return. Don't even worry about it. English Premier League, June 17th. Why is this all important, you ask? Why are everything's returning so fast? Because the reality is that they have advertising deals that need to, with contractual obligations that need to be fulfilled, and pandemic be damned, everybody has to make their money. The reality is that they got to pay the advertisers. So let me rephrase that. So the advertisers pay them to be advertised on their on these shows, so on soccer, on football, basketball, baseball, whatever, right? Advertisers, this is how they get new customers. So they signed these deals with the TV companies. The TV companies signed the deal with the NBA to make sure that their advertisers are playing. Now, without any sports on TV, there are no advertisements. So without those, they would end up having to get the money back. You think the NBA, in the middle of I love using this phrase, in the middle of a fucking pandemic, is going to want to give money back? Hell fuck no. We're going to have these shows regardless. As long as everybody tests fucking positive, everybody tests negative, excuse me, we are fucking good. And that's how the NBA feels. That's how soccer feels. We got to pay these fucking advertisers. It's not wrong. Look it up. Look it up. If you don't believe me, look it up. This is literally why. Because they have to pay the advertisers back if they don't come back with some sort of sport. And I'm cool with that. That's fine. As long as they stay safe and do what they're supposed to do. Oh, yeah, we're getting it. We're in May. We're still in May month, Miss Lady Di. That's the big thing. So at the beginning of May, I think we knew at the beginning of May we were on to something, by the way. Because around the beginning of May, it starts circling around. Mike Tyson pops up on an Instagram video, throwing hands, looking like a goddamn king of the world. And I'm like, you know what? Mike Tyson could probably beat up coronavirus. That's what we're hoping for. And at the very least, let's see Mike Tyson in the ring again. I'm here for it. Listen, I am here for Mike Tyson whooping somebody's ass in an exhibition or otherwise. Hell, I pull a random bum off the street. I'd be like, he looks like Kimbo Slice, God rest his soul, but he can't fight like him. Mike Tyson whoop his fucking ass. We probably make 10 mil off that shit. I'm here for it. I am fucking here for it. But I knew once we saw Mike Tyson that we were on an upswing, baby. That's right. Because Mike Tyson is the shit. Mike Tyson is unfadable. Listen, when it comes to hand-to-hand combat, ain't nobody fucking with Mike Tyson. If you can start using your legs, Chuck Norris with that roundhouse is going to kill everyone. He's going to knock a head out. But once I saw Tyson throw hands, he was nasty. He's a bad man. He's still a bad man. Dude is 50-some years old. Nigga's a bad man. It's all bad. It's all bad. But sports is actually, we're talking about it. Sports is, we're starting to get there. We are starting to come back to a new normal. May opens up. May goes through. May is fine. People start uniting. We're like, we're going to be free. Yes, there were some protests with places that didn't want to open up. And I understood why. If your population's high, you shouldn't be opening up your fucking state. Listen, if you're California and one city has 10 million people in it, one. Same thing with New York. If one city has 10 million people in it, you might want to hold back on just opening up a bit. Orlando metropolitan area has a minute, but its individual city has barely maybe 200,000-300,000 in each fucking city. So, I mean, it is what it is, but that's fine. We knew people were going to get upset. I thought it was like, why are you getting upset? We're trying to save your fucking life. Stay your ass at home. Or social distance or something. Just chill. We're going to get the state back open in due time. Now, you're probably wondering where I'm going with all of this. So towards the end of May, middle of May, that's when we find out about Ahmaud Arbery. So when we find out about, that was heartbreaking from a sports person and from an African-American male. And I'm like, I saw this and I saw the video and I'm like, oh my fucking God. And then to find out that the shit popped off in February and just got brushed under the rug while the coronavirus was happening. See, and now I bet people was wishing that the damn lockdown didn't lift. Because had the lockdown not lifted, we wouldn't even know about this shit. And it's sad. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but people rushed this shit, and now all your sins are being exposed because you decided to rush it. Elijah, it's no excuse. I know. People are going to get mad about the whole social distancing and shit like that. I'm fine. We should be social distancing. If you know a virus can be gathered with a cough or touching somebody's hand after you cough, if you go and then wipe your hands off somebody's shit or wipe it on a pole and then that person wipes the pole with their fucking hand, guess what, buddy? Coronavirus. Start doing the damn You know what the fuck I'm talking about. The Ghana dancers. But we would have never found out about Ahmaud Arbery had we never came off a lockdown as quickly as we did. We would have never known. It would have been brushed under the rug. It took to come off a lockdown for people to be able to protest and talk about this was when this all popped up. And then like, fuck, they back at it again. They are back at it again. We were united for 45 days. 45 days of fucking unity. 45 days of unity. We were good. And then all of a sudden, we're fucked. And it's rough. It's rough to be like, and it's to just find out about this shit. And then to be faced with George Floyd. And you're probably like, well, why are we going to talk about George Floyd? It's not necessarily a sports thing. No, it is a sports thing because it relates to one person. And you know who that person is. And LA Dye is waiting for me to say his name. I know Toby's waiting for me to say his name dreadfully, grabbing at the knuckles, grabbing at the tables like he's going to fucking do it, is he? He's going to fucking say his name. He's going to say that man's name. And you're damn right I'm going to say his name. His name is Colin Kaepernick, and you can't forget it. Because this is exactly what he was preaching. So everything from 2016 on that he was preaching has led to this moment. Everything that he tried to bring to light that nobody wanted to listen to him as the messenger of were brought to this point. Everything that he tried to share, but the message got misconstrued because he didn't like the messenger has come to fruition. And the fact that executives have literally said that it's not that it was we all agreed not to sign Colin Kaepernick because of a business decision, but now we feel with all these events that have gone on, it was a horrible business decision. I'll tell you. Only once. I know, but you knew. But you knew this had to be coming. But the reality of the situation is this. We've come to a place now. Now we got this riot that's going on. We have these innocent people being killed. We have businesses being torn down. We have destruction and we have chaos. We have anarchy. We have peaceful protesters. And then we have the people trying to ruin those peaceful protests with evil. Make no mistake about this. And I want to really talk about this for a second. Because when the athletes are telling you, peacefully protest, don't destroy shit. Killer Mike on freaking YouTube and freaking with the police telling you, be peaceful, but don't destroy shit. Athletes, actors, doctors, former politicians, current politicians, former athletes, retired people. Hell, I'm pretty sure that if we probably dig deep into somebody's will, we probably find somebody fucking dead saying, yo, peacefully protest, but don't fucking destroy somebody's shit. In Chicago, huge sports town, right? Bulls, management, please don't destroy it. Southside Chicago, looters and Antifa and all them cats have destroyed black businesses. They're gone. I would not talk about making eggs unless one of them kneeled. But that's another story for another day, Mr. Toby, okay? But on the realness, they've destroyed the South Side of Chicago. South Side of Chicago is like every black business on the South Side is gone. But you have these actors. You have these people that are with ill intentions and evil intentions. And I told my son, because my son asked me about this, and I said, evil will always be evil. Evil will always do evil. Because people that are evil view their evil as good. Right? So he asked me, why are they doing this? And I'm going to tell you exactly what I told him. Is murder illegal? Yeah. Why do people still commit murder? Because they can. It's as simple as that. And which leads me back to Officer Derek Chauvin. He showed patterns of evil. He showed patterns of not doing the right thing, and he was not reprimanded for it. His partner showed patterns of evil. His partner had an open internal affairs case, still open to this day. Patterns of evil left unchecked, and leaving it unchecked cost George Floyd his life. I'm not here going to debate the whole police side of the shit, because I've said enough about that on probably a bunch of other posts, okay? But the reality of the situation is that evil will always be evil. The question that needs to be talked about is, what are we going to do about it? We need to check evil, regardless of whether that evil is in the confines of what we're speaking about, evil cops, and they need to be checked. Whether that evil is within the confines of people that are of the violent protesters that are destroying black businesses and white businesses and homegrown businesses. I love Target, but Target has $1 trillion insurance policies to cover their shit. But Jimmy's Barbecue Shop doesn't have those same privileges. They shouldn't be destroying that. They shouldn't be destroying anything. But on the grand scheme of things, comparing apples to oranges, apples has $1 million life insurance. I mean, you know, destruction policies. Oranges barely has maybe $5,000 or $10,000 worth of coverage because they need to use that money to protect the rest of their shit. And maybe that's where we need to draw the line. We need to check evil exactly where it needs to be checked. People start speaking out about dumb shit. People start speaking out about racist shit. You need to get them out your life. They need to be dead. Need to be done. Get rid of them. People that are trying to do good, the good protesters, bring them in. Show them that we are different. The athletes, the ones that are pushing for this. And it's funny because Randy Orton, world-renowned pro wrestler, realized what the message is. A Black Lives Matter. It's not that all lives don't matter. It's that until black lives do matter, all lives can't matter if black lives don't matter. That's the message. Find the people that are spreading the message. No, and I understand the single mom. And I understand. But Target usually would have two choices. They'll put them in another store or they're paying unemployment. Hell, they're still $600. And I'm not advocating for violence. But there's an apple and there's oranges. I'm not advocating for violence. I'm not that type of person. I understand what it's come to. But I also understand also that there's people that are using the anger and the vitriol in the protest to cause more destruction. And that needs to be checked as well. And you're starting to see that at these protests, where the peaceful protesters are beating the shit out of the angry protesters, the people that are destroying shit, because they don't want to be looped with that shit. But at the same time, I just watched a video from a South Carolina protester in Charleston. Dude had his hands up, kneeled down. Cops were about 100 feet away from him. Dude had a positive message for everybody in the crowd and even the cops. And you know what they did? The cops drug him away, put him in handcuffs, and dragged him off somewhere. We don't even know where the fuck he is now. So even the positive message that is trying to be displayed, even the positive message that we're trying to tell people, don't be afraid of black people. And that's a sad thing to say. Because how can you be afraid of black people, especially with sports, right? Who dominates basketball? Who runs about 55% of football, 65% of football? Who's starting to make waves in NASCAR? You know, who is starting to make waves in soccer internationally? But yet you're scared of this? You're scared of this? You're scared of this? And it's ashy, I know, I'm sorry. But you're scared of this? That's what we need to change. That's what we need to fix. That's what we need to figure out. Because until we figure out why they're scared of this and why they hate this, we're never going to get anywhere. Why are cops so afraid of this? Why are cops so afraid of African Americans? And if we don't figure that part out, and we don't figure that part out soon, it ain't never going to be figured out. All this is going to be all for naught. All this protesting. All this anger. Let's see. But you're right, George. And that's, I mean, you're right, Jose. You're right. That's the point I'm trying to get at. Is that we have the protesters. And you can blame the media for this. You know what's funny? You'll never, ever, ever, as a black man, hear me agree with Rush Limbaugh about something that he said on The Breakfast Club. But he said something to the point of where the media, the national media, is showing the destruction and the chaos because that's what draws your eyes to the cause. But they don't show the peaceful protest. They don't show that the cops going into the community and marching with the protesters. Everybody thinks it happened in Justin Flint, Michigan, with that viral video that went down. But did you know that it happened in Houston? Did you know it happened in Orlando? Did you know that it happened in a few other small towns? It actually happened in a few other small counties here. They don't show you those images on purpose. They like the shock value of it. They like saying, boom, this is in your fucking face. And that's not right. So this is what I challenge. For those that are watching, this is what I challenge you to do before I sign off here on my podcast. This is what I challenge you to do. I challenge you, if you find protesters that are positively protesting, I challenge you to share that message. Share what they're trying to say. I don't care if that video is 10, 15 seconds long. Do it for me. Do it for us. And more importantly, do it for George Floyd. Because I don't want his memory to be tarnished because a few people want to watch the world burn. I don't want to watch the world burn. I have two kids that I have to raise in this world. I don't want to watch it burn. I want to make it better for them. Let's do right by them. Let's do right by George Floyd. I'm going to show you my shirt that I'm wearing right now. It's going to be the first time I wear it. And until in the last time, unless I got to bring this son of a bitch back out again for some other shit. There we go. It's very simple. George Floyd didn't die for this. He didn't die for any of this. But we need to make it right. Don't worry about the negative message. Don't spread the negative. Because that's what they want you to do. That's what the media wants you to do. Spread the positive messages that these athletes have asked you to spread. Spread these positive messages that these stars, Jamie Foxx, Killer Mike, T.I., they've all asked for these positive messages. They haven't went violent. They haven't told you to watch the fucking world burn. Let's do right by George Floyd by doing the right thing and sharing the positive message, sharing what this means, condemning all of the bullshit. Condemning all of the bullshit and standing up for what's right. All right. That was a good one. That was a good deep one. So, again, I told you that this was part one of a part three series. Wednesday we'll be back with part two. I'm going to go into some commentary about how this lockdown has affected everyone in such a certain way, but we had to get that message out there, and I appreciate everyone coming through and showing me love. We'll be back Wednesday. The Overtime Sports Show will be here with more details about how all these sports are going to return. I'm going to break it down inch by inch and exactly how it's going to be, but until then, this is your boy James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black, signing off until Wednesday. But until then, we out this bitch. Deuces. Oh, I can't find my mouse. There we go. Bye.